360 podcast to Jay Bird. How goes it?
Back in the house, Steve.
Back
in the house.
Just like Easter, we are back. Man, I'll tell you what, I got blown up. Jay, I know you do too. Where are you guys? What happened? It was Easter weekend and I went to Texas and caught redfish, everybody. I'm sorry. Even the Steamsters got to get out of it for a minute. So we took the Easter week off there. Should have warned you guys, but oh well. Hanging out. It was so bad. The weather was so bad. I just said, let's get a ticket and get out of here. It was like storming.
On your vacation, you went fishing.
Yeah, that's all we did. But it's like, I'm looking at the guide schedule. I'm going, okay, it's going to thunderstorm for like the next ever. Let's just hop on a plane and get out. And went and did the Joe Buca routine, caught some redfish.
That's cool.
I'm not going to talk about it because if it's not a muskie, it's stupid. And anything I learned, ask me what I learned, Jay.
What'd you learn, Steve-o?
That all those other fish are stupid. And if you can catch them with a shrimp, that they're stupid as hell.
All other fish are just bait.
All other fish are stupid. Not all other fish are bait. I mean, you can't use like a...
That's what we say up here.
Well, you're stupid.
Oh,
don't say that. Don't bring that attitude here to the supper club.
Well, come on now.
Oh, don't bring that attitude near. No, sir.
One of the Smitty shank you.
The Smitty will have their way with you behind the old Smitty woodshed. Anyway, so yeah, fishing for other fish is stupid. It was just like, oh, throw a shrimp over here. Do you know what was just disheartening, Jay?
Throw a shrimp. Okay. What?
Put a shrimp on a hook. You'll catch something down there.
Weird.
It's how easy it is. It's just like, I'm out running around with a saltwater guy going, this guy makes more money than I do. And his tackle includes a hook and like a water gremlin sinker. You know, like, oh, wow. You know, I've got a $8 million in baits and this guy's got some Osagony hooks and a 3/4 ounce of water gremlin.
You know? If you want to catch something, you will catch something.
It's stupid.
Different thing if you target something specifically, probably, but
well, just goes to what I said. They're stupid. Anyway, we're gonna talk spring. We're gonna have the Steve and Jay diatribe on spring, but I wanted to talk about some of the new stuff. So we're not gonna go through like, hey, buy this. There's some new stuff at Muskie Shop that I want to talk about because let's talk about what they're used for and they're kind of interesting.
There is
trying to get some neat stuff. One thing I would bring up, got the coming soon now from our wonderful folks at Livingston. We got the flipper. That's something Herbeck, Mena, you know, been working on. All of us have been sort of plugging away on that. That's sort of a neat like hybrid jerkbait thing. It's funky. Check that out.
Yep.
That'll be more on that coming up here soon. Everybody's been asking, what about Titans? They're on the way. But, you know, there's been some new stuff show up and some old stuff and some new stuff. I only want to point out first I would talk about is going to be the Leo stuff, right?
Leopardi lures from Pennsylvania. Yes.
They are pretty interesting. If you guys hear us talk about reef hogs, I've had guys ask and message that. Do you guys, where can I get a reef hog or this stuff? You know, I don't know what happened to the reef hogs. Kind of reef hockey, kind of sledgish. They're cool. Jay, you brought those back in, and it's just like a neat bait. Interesting in the fact of like dive and rise, pulley, glidey, really fast baits, right? Which are cool. Yeah. Those are in the...
Well, he's got crankbaits, too.
That's what I was going to say. You got the Mojo, which is the cranks, and the Magnum, pretty interesting. Then I was super stoked, and I think this came from us talking on the podcast one night. Freaking High Fin.
Yeah, High Fin's back.
Look who's back. Back again. Jay hunted down. He got in a time machine and got freaking a High Fin.
Yeah, there's a guy making him. He took over Lloyd, the original owner and manufacturer for decades.
400 years old, yeah.
Well, he passed away some time ago, and ever since then, it's
happens.
Just, yeah, I mean, where are they? I don't know. they're gone. They're done.
They're but, gone.
Yep, guys making some, and you know, we got a few of the three most popular surface baits. You know, back in the day, you know, his both of his creepers, man, those were the ticket, and they still are. They're great stuff. They're great. They just haven't been unavailable. So
the majority of the listeners were not alive for the high fin or the twin teaser tail.
Yeah.
That's
a tail rotating bait. You know, like
take
the
that super top raider.
Of the super top raider, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old school, baby.
Yeah.
They used to
Todd
say,
and Dave kind of
Todd
stuff.
Todd and Dave. They used to say them fish can smell the cedar. You know?
So avoid the cedar?
No, that's good. The muskies can smell cedar.
Thing.
Yeah, they can smell.
Who used to say that, Dave?
Somebody did, not me.
Somebody did.
Probably somebody that was drinking heavily. I'm just making shit up here.
I wasn't sure about that one. Okay, head ass.
The muskies can smell the cedar. If it ain't cedar wood, it ain't worth it. No, they're cool. Like I said, it's sort of like throwback, some of the stuff we got coming in. But the Leo stuff, like I said, reef hoggy. But, okay, if you're old enough to have thrown reef hogs, a lot of the reef hogs were bad. We can all admit that they were inconsistent. And you had good reef hogs. You had bad reef hogs. The Leos are sort of dialed in. They're not going to be screwy, and you're not looking for a good one. Those are exciting. I'm breaking out the freaking old high fin stuff now just because I dig it. It's sort of fun to throw some of the older, weirder stuff, you know, and the high fin was like cool. I think somebody sent a message. We were talking one time about the high fin Skywalker was another bait and like all this crap, but their creeper has always been money, and it's the Hogbuster one, right?
The jointed one.
Jointed one, which is weird. And it's got this little, like, goofy little prop on the back. I've smoked fish on that in Canada. Like, now, mind you, I've said it before. The only freaking creeper you need is the dude that makes
tackle.
Bitten. I always want to call him warlock baits because he makes warlocks and everybody knows warlocks. The bitten tackle creeper is cash. That thing's awesome all the time. But now that the high fin's back, that's a good consideration too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
It's one of those deals. And now, mind you, let's spend 4 hours on the difference in creepers, Jay. What do you think? That's time well spent. Just 4 hours on different creepers.
Well, you know, are easy to retune and some are impossible to retune.
Well,
you go. So a lot of guys have gone to stainless wings, and that helps.
Well, the thing, I'm just teasing. I mean, when they're hitting creepers, they're hitting creepers. But they're both different flavors. So if like you're a freaking bitten guy, I mean, it's not bad to have that different sound. To be honest with you, a lot of times I've got old high fins that I still have in the boat. You know, I retired the Savage Gear 3D bats.
I retired
them right there in that 99 cent Benrit Bass Pro. You know them muskies want to eat bats. You know it, and I know it. Everybody knows it.
You know what else is cool that came in, Steve?
What's up?
That Phantom Freak.
Phantom
it's back.
Freak.
It's back, baby. And that's
freak
that's
out.
The freak. It's the last of the freaks on the market. They will. You'll probably never see them again. Because the guy doing Phantom is just. It's just him doing them. I mean, the guy's got his hands full, so he's concentrating on soft tail Phantoms, and that's about all he can produce. So
that's the end of. I missed that while I was going. So that's the end run of what he's got.
More than likely, yep. According to Jeff, it's the way it's looking. So we bought them all, and you know that the Phantom Freak is a surface bait, and it's a tail bait, but it's unusual because the rotating section, it kind of has the paddles, whatever you want to call it, are a little bit more forward in the tail rotating part.
Mm-hmm.
And but they got a squeak and a click and a clack to them that's a little bit different, and you know it's something you can run in moderate waves too. It's effective, doesn't roll. It's a good bait. I don't know why it just kind of went away a few years ago, other than the fact that Phantom, the company, changed hands. But anyway,
yeah,
if you like those, yeah, I mean, we got a few, and that might be it for them. So
It looks like there's four cars left. I mean, they're cool. I mean, you said, the only time I think about breaking out the freak is choppy stuff. If you're fishing windy places and choppy stuff, because what you end up with on these surface baits is guys will run like really, really big baits. So it's like a double prop, but it's not the biggest bait you've ever seen kind of deal. It's not the super top raider, the twin tails and all that stuff. Yeah, they're cool. I mean, like, so I guess that's, once they're gone, they're gone.
It looks that way.
Now.
You know what else came in today when you were out in the water fishing all day when I was working?
What? I was working too, Skank.
I'm teasing you.
Working my ass off.
Such an easy target.
Everybody acts like don't. Remember?
There we go.
You're out there. You're out fishing. Okay, dude. Cut this shit. I'm done.
It's the worst thing to say to a guide.
Yeah, while you were out fishing, and I was working. So anyway, I gotta tell you this. Speaking of freaking working, I called Jay. I'll tell you. I'm just going to vent, everybody. When the day is long, cue the REM here. I called Jay and I said, me and Jody are going to Texas. He'll be back, right? Cool. Mm-hmm. Do the podcast when we get back. Okay. Flight. We get the red eye back. It gets delayed. I get back so freaking late. It's stupid. I have to be on the boat the next month. So I'll do it tomorrow, right?
Right. Yeah. This is last Saturday.
This is why there was no episode last week. So it's going to be a day late. We've been doing it on Fridays. We're going to do it on Saturday when we get back. I'm on the boat, and I was freaking, I almost forgot to tell the story. This is gruesome. Oy vey. And I go, let me change your bait for you, for the client, right?
Yeah.
I've got the bait in my freaking hand, and the guy says something to the other guy, and he turns and sets the hook into my hand.
Yep.
I take a 4-0. Jay's seen the picture. A 4-0 treble goes in. I'm lefty. I'm a left-hander here. So it's my left middle finger. It goes in my left middle finger past the bend. Not just the barb goes in. We're down to the bend of the hook to the freaking shank of this thing.
Must have been uncomfortable.
It was like, let me put it this way. If you took freaking 220 volts and pumped it right into the end of your hand. It was like being electrocuted and set on fire at the same time. And I nearly barfed. Oh my God. Again, you guys got to realize, you saw it last year on the Smitty video. I get hooked once a year. It's part of being a muskie guy, because it's not a real job, right, Jay? It's not a real job. It's just the hazards of this recreational activity I do every day. So the guy turns, what happens? And it's just a thing. If you're helping a kid or a wife or a friend or guiding one day, always make sure that they have the reel punched in if you're changing the baits. I change the baits so I know that the snap's closed, right? If something screws up, it's on me, not on them. And he's got his bell closing, but he says, hey, and he just turned.
Yeah.
He turned his body, which is just launched it. My arm is above my head. And I'm screaming. I'm like, it's up in the air. Here's, thank God, Jay, that was the only time I cursed 9-foot shield rods.
all that torque.
And I was up on my tippy toes, dude.
Like, and you're just going, okay, it's gonna be 2 hours before I can get to the emergency room to get this thing out, because you couldn't push it through. And
It's freaking when they're that deep. So I'll tell you guys, cover if you're squeamish, earmuffs, take your headphones out. Jay, you've seen the picture. I'm not gonna put it on the app or anything. That hook goes in, and you could see the end of it trying to push out near my fingernail.
Okay, I get the, yeah. So,
there was no, dude, I didn't tell you this part yet, though, Jay. You ready for this?
Yeah.
That, where the guy says, I saw a trick on the internet on how to get them out with braided line. Did I tell you that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
great idea right there.
I've been freaking.
That's going to work.
Yeah, it's going to work. I've been impaled. let's wrap some braid around it. Just rip a giant hole in you.
Well, the worst part is when it's that deep and it's like in the center on the tip of your finger. That's like bone, cartilage, nerve ending. Everything's right. You know, you got to cut the hook at the base of the hook.
Well,
that shock when you cut that is just like another jolt.
Well, when you saw the picture, so it's right there at the bend of the end of my middle finger, pushing out to the end.
Yep.
I got the Nip-X out. God bless them. And when I cut that freaking hook, I saw the face of God. It was like I'm coming, Jesus. Thank you, baby Jesus. Here I come. Because I was, whew. That gave me, you know, that Looney Tunes thing that Jay, woo, woo. It sucked. That was exciting. Okay. So then I just bled everywhere. Now, can I tell you the other funny thing? Because I forgot to.
Okay. Please do.
I get to the hospital, right? I call Jody Michael. Hey, babe. And she goes, you're off the water early. Well, let me tell you what just happened. So I get in the truck. I'm talking to her. I said, hey, we got to run to the hospital. I can't get this thing out. I got the boat on the trailer, all that stuff. And long story short, I think I called you too, right? I called JJ's my emotional support animal. And talked to Jay.
I said, deep breaths, Steve. Oh, okay. Breathe in, breathe out.
I'm pretty calm about the thing. But what's funny is I got so calm that I used my left hand to hit the turn signal, which was getting hit with a cattle. It's like getting hit with a cattle prod. I sort of forgot. So anyway, long story short, not to be grotesque, I get to the freaking thing. I check in. We do the little triage thing, and they're like, okay. And they call me back, then they pull my record, Jay. And they refer to me as fish bite, fish hook guy, because I've been in there for multiple fish bites and fish hooks. And they literally are like, oh, you're that guy.
It's that guy again. Room 47. We got fish hook.
Well, the problem every time, if you go in there with like a freaking fishing hook in you, you might as well, you're going to get introduced to every dock in the building. Like, what are you fishing for? You're like, I'm sitting here, I'm going to bleed to death. Can you get this thing out? Well, you know, I think I offered like 5 free guide trips to every doctor. Like, hey, we just take this thing out and stop coming in here and ask me about what the bite is. So that was going on. That was electric boogie, woogie, woogie. You did bring up, Jay, I'm sorry I cut you off with my horrible story of why we didn't, you know, my trip. And then, you know, we're supposed to get her done, but here we sit. You were talking about, right. I believe, the kamikazes.
We got Spitfire in today.
Spitfire?
When you were out. Yeah. A bunch of mids and a bunch of minis. And that's where the void was, and it's filled pretty nicely. So
nice.
That's a great chatterbait. If you aren't familiar with them, check them out on the website. It's a great alternative to throwing a boring bucktail, I'll tell you that right now. Well,
I'm telling you, the minis are good. Throw them out, retrieve them, fish on the end on occasion. I mean, that's the nice thing about chatterbaits. So reel, throw, reel, repeat, you know. Now the ninja move with this stuff is stutter stop, by the way, Jay. Reel, stop, and let them fall.
Yep.
And then lift. And so you're getting all that vibration. I've said it before, just to reiterate, if you're fishing pressure water, that's a good thing to look at. What was it that you, what else was new? I was just like I said, we're not trying to hit all the new stuff, but there's so much cool new stuff. New old
stuff.
There's
a new clam net.
New clam net?
Yeah, it's not round. Teardrops. Yeah, it's not round. It's got teardrops.
I don't know.
Shape to it. So another nice musky net on the market. Very good quality.
Are they going to still make the circle one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bunch of sizes.
Pete likes that circular one. We used it last year. It's a good
get them in the clam, Pete.
Gam them up. It's a they're good nets. That's a good price too.
Solid stuff.
Anyway, shut up. We're sitting here hammering on stuff. What does this say? I'm literally looking at the website here because I'm horrible. Free shipping weekend on orders over $30.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Free shipping on Shield Rod. So, guys, it's not a sales pitch. I'm just telling you. I'm legally obligated to tell you if there's a sale. But we're not pushing it here. We're just talking about the new stuff. It's exciting. What is it?
I was talking with Andrew Walker from Cast and Conquer
Canada,
yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got some awesome videos.
Mm-hmm.
I told him flat out. I go, Andrew, your videos are just they're looking great.
Right.
And he was very appreciative, and he's a hardworking guy. And anyway, long story short, we were trying to get him some Shield rods.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Canada.
Right.
You know, some of the folks that order in Canada, you know, we get questions a few times about oversized items, and you know, why can't we send them to Canada? Dude, if you only knew what shipping costs are to Canada now, how much they've gone up even from last year.
Really?
It's shocking. Yeah. So it's very difficult. We're trying to arrange something where, you know, maybe you got a buddy or something, you know, across the border, or you're going to make a trip somewhere, or you yourself are going to go up there, you know, and you can drop them off. You know what I mean? Because it's like...
Should we just start running Shield rods over the border like crack?
Black market Shield rods. Black market.
Anybody in Minnesota want to make some serious money?
North Dakota.
Yeah, dudes crossing the border like four times a week. Freaking just piles of Shield rods and baits. Dude, yeah, that's the shipping thing has gotten out of hand. Hold on, what else? Let's look here, guys. The grenade's still available. You can still get that.
Yeah, Musky Mayhem Grenade. Yeah, that's their new bucktail offering. It's an unbucktail, but yeah.
It's unbucktailable. That should have been the slogan for that thing.
We got more of those toothy tough baits in that I think you turned us on to those.
I did. Thank you very much.
He's a West Virginia boy, right?
Yeah.
Don't make that sound ever again. It scares me every time you do that. Yeah, unusual. You've thrown them. I have not. Mm-hmm. We still have ice on the lakes here.
Last time Jay threw one, tell me about them. Bounced.
Clink, clink, clank.
Dude, I'll tell you. So, A, if a hillbilly made it, I want to throw it. I can tell you that much. West Virginia is the home. I'm telling you right now, and you cannot argue this, West Virginia is the home of musky ingenuity, right? You got crane baits, you got cob baits, you got the toothy tufts,
a lot of cool things.
Amabamas, sure. You got there's a billion gliders that come out of there. I'm not going to name all the names here, but some of them we don't sell, some of them do, whatever, but nonetheless, a lot of great baits come to West Virginia. I'll tell you, when I first saw the toothy tuff, I went, whatever.
Probably because you looked at it and you're like,
The pictures, what I'll say is this. When you look at them online, right, the pictures don't really convey, and it's not that they're bad pictures. Jay took these pictures. I'd never say Jay did anything bad. The bait itself in person sort of reads differently than what you think it does in a photo. So the bottom's really flat, right? It's wider than you think that it is, and that tail is freaking huge, right?
It's very high, yeah. It's like a dorsal tail running the length of the bait.
It's odd, and it's almost like a big curve. And it's like a freaking, ever see, you know, there's some of these girls that are butterfaces, Jay. Everything's good butterface.
Okay.
But they almost photograph like that. They don't look great in photos. I mean, they look good in photos, but in person, they're like knockouts because they're custom poured and all that stuff. But I dig them. They're a cool, different fall off, different presentation than your typical rubber stuff. It's almost that, I don't know. It's like got this, that tail's so freaking big, it's like pounder level. But the bait's practically all tail.
Yeah, but there's a really small model. We got a, I don't know if you've seen that. They call it a four. I mean, the bait's longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little deceiving if you look at him.
He's from West Virginia. He can't measure or count. Well,
the body, you know, he's going by the body length. So, like, I think one model was 6.5 inch or something. Uh-huh. And, you know, if you just read that, you'd be like, I don't want something that small.
Right.
But the bait is longer than that. It's the overall length is longer.
The body. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. It's the tail thing. I don't know. It's more.
Yeah, they're cool. They're cool.
It's more rubber and hooks at the end of the day. You don't have to have one. It ain't a sales pitch. I just like them because they're neat.
Me too.
What?
I agree.
I like them. To be honest with you, that's usually my answer on my boat too. Do you like? I just like them because they're neat.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a neat bait. I don't know, Jay. I guess it doesn't matter. You could throw a tube sock out there with two hooks on it and catch them some days. Anyway, ramble on. just rambling our brains out about new stuff. Jay, how bad is it there?
What do you mean?
Just in general, emotionally and weather-wise.
Oh, it's getting better. I'll tell you that. Tomorrow's supposed to be the warmest day of the year. Might hit 70, so it's going to do some damage. But boy, I tell you what, we got some ice reports earlier in the week on a few lakes, like Luckview, Desert, not too far from my place, that there was 30 inches of ice out there yet. I don't know if it's accurate, but I don't doubt it. I can't tell you how sick, and I don't want to bitch about where I live, but from this Monday, to the previous Monday, I'm talking 5-6 days in a row or whatever, driving to work every day was snow covered and or really treacherous ice covered roads. And it's like, we'd get to work in the morning and kind of look each other and shake our heads and just not even want to talk about it, you know? It's just this, the winter won't end. It's just, oh, God, I tell you what, we're just so over it right now, waiting for, you know, some kind of fishing opportunity. Because for us, opening weekend is like a week and a half away. No, 2 weeks away. Yeah, 2 weeks away. So there'll probably be some ice in the area. We're hoping most of the lakes are ice free for the walleye opener, but we'll see what happens this summer, you know, by this summer, because late ice in our area, you know, you get that long of a period where there's no light penetration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the weeds grow weird. You know, some of the smaller, shallower lakes can develop winter kill. I hope not, but we'll see what happens soon when people get to assess what's going on, they'll make an assessment.
That was the Northwoods Depression Report.
Hey, 70 tomorrow? You can't. Oh, God, I can't wait.
Can I tell you what I did?
To go outside in 70 degree weather, you can't. I can't tell you how long it's been.
You said walleye, and I had fun the other night, by the way.
So, gravel?
No.
Bottom feeders?
No. I'm going to. It was. I don't do anything really with the social medias, but I might have a stupid Twitter. And you said walleyes, and I messaged Pete Maina, and I told him, I said, I once saw a walleye eat a duck. So,
like people, that's all you said?
Yeah, that was it. And he just replied, just like, so it just crossed my head, or my mind. We need to do a contest where we... Let's give something away here for something stupid. We haven't done anything dumb in a while, and you said walleye and popped in my head. So, the best comment to Pete Maina, he's got a new YouTube video out, right?
Pete does?
Yeah, he's tying knots with some fluoro.
Okay.
The best comment on Pete's new video, I will send you a Livingston something. Dude, I'm thinking like,
what would be that's good? That's a good idea.
What would be good? Yeah. Like, remember when we Wango Tango?
We did that to
Booker?
Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's a good thing?
What was
today?
That? What was it? Wango?
Yeah. It was Ted
Nugent. How do you
Nugent's,
incorporate
yeah.
the phrase Wango Tango is like into Ted a Nugent. Comment?
What's a good Pete thing here?
Okay. Tex-Mex dish?
No, because but just what you it's free form. Let's just keep this one free form, guys. Best just Pete comment on a vid, like his new vid. It's, hold on, let me pull this up. I have the internet here. Can you believe that, Jay? I have the internet in my house.
Nice.
Isn't that crazy? Who would have thunk it? What a time to be alive.
You must be in a special area of Tennessee.
What a time to be alive. Let's look here. I'll tell you what the video is. Videos. Pete Maina. Pete Maina, professional muskie angler.
I'm going to comment on it right now.
Okay. It says how to tie a knot with big fluorocarbon.
Right.
We got some comments on here already.
Okay.
Right. Somehow I've never ran across your channel. Okay. So my guess would be like, it says how to tie a knot with big fluorocarbon. I would just comment, how do you tie a knot with bigger fluorocarbon? Just whatever. So it's Pete's videos on his YouTube. I just, what can you come now? Keep it nice. No, nothing bad or whatever. Just get old Pete riled up here. You know, do you believe?
How about asking him for suggestions for his next video?
No,
just
no,
something relevant.
If it were me, right. And I was trying to do this and win this thing. Right. I'm just saying me, and we're judging the thing. So it's biased. So it says, you know, I know. And listen, Pete is Pete likes conspiracy theories. You know, Pete's out there on the fringe. I would ask him, you know, is this an appropriate knot to tie up a Sasquatch in my backyard? So, you know, just whatever.
Yeah,
you know, whatever. Is can you use Seaguard to tie up a chupacabra? You know, Pete is, let me put it this way, Pete is the late night AM radio of muskie fishing. So
you better watch yourself, because I heard he's putting a bid in for Twitter. He's trying to outbid Musk right now. So if he owns Twitter, he is going to shut you down.
If Pete Maina owned Twitter, it would be like dude. It would be like Mad Max. It would be like freaking.
There'd be new rules and guidelines. Let's put it that way.
The guidelines would be hefty. You know, it would be. And I love Pete. God, he's amazing. But it would be. That would be a world where Pete Maina was in control would be terrifying. Just gonna throw that out there. All right. So
yeah, it'd be fun though. It'd Pete be a fun
for,
ride.
Pete for president, 2024.
Yep.
Let's see what you magnificent bastards can come up with on Pete's face or on his YouTube. Keep it nice. We love Pete here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, other than that, Jay, we the last podcast, we heard from Pete Maina, unfortunately. We heard from Joe Bucher.
Yep.
Kind of subpar. And we heard from one of the Smitties. Masterful.
Jake.
Masterful. Mm-hmm. No, all these guys had some really good input on season opener.
Yep.
Early season tactics. I think, me thinks, is that how you say that? Is that appropriate? Me thinks?
Nope,
me,
it's not.
Me thinks, Jay. Well, me thinks, sorry, I'm like, it's 80s, it was hot today and I'm like six in, sorry. Me thinks we should cover some early season tactics. But the thing would be this, and me and Jay were sort of riffing earlier today. You hear the same shit, right? If you listen to Joe and you listen to Booker, or if you listen to, excuse me, Pete and Joe and everybody, whatever those guys' names are, you heard a lot of similar things. I think there's a lot of opportunity for weird stuff and oddball kind of presentations in that early season. So at least to cover that, so there's a different perspective, right? I agree with what they're saying, but every day is different. Things can be different every day. So, you know, just because little downsize this and little downsize that was kicking butt on Tuesday doesn't mean this Saturday when you're on the water, it's going to be good. So some alternative stuff you can do in the early season once these seasons are open. First off, unpopular opinion. You ready, Jay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Fly rod.
Yeah.
Oh, you mm-hmm. go. Okay, here's the thing. I hear it from guys. So I don't troll, right? That's how often is that? And I, you know, good point. And I'm just enjoying riffing here. But I had a conversation on the boat today. and I'm gonna hit you with, and this goes to trolling. I'll talk about fly thing in a second, but it goes to trolling.
Okay.
So, and the guy was super cool. We enjoyed our time on the boat. We got a couple of nice fish, but we talked about trolling and not being successful with it. And what I brought up was this. When you start musky fishing, right? He said he wasn't good at trolling is what he said. I said, when you started, you started musky fishing and you started casting, you weren't good at that either, right?
Right, right.
You sucked at it. Everybody does. I still suck at it, but nonetheless, you're not good. And you build 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 and you get confident and you get successful. I said, you have to do that with trolling, right? You have to jump off that cliff. And you know what? There's some quote, but, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it's, no one is good when they start doing anything, right? There are people that are naturally good at things like running, and there are people that are naturally good at certain sports. Fishing is not one of them. No one is naturally good at fishing. I don't give a shit what anybody says. You're not. Right. I fish with the best that are, quote unquote, the best there's ever been in the sport, the legends of the sport. I know them all personally. They're good friends of mine. They don't do anything that you can't do if you put in the time and the energy. Right. There's not some God's gift to fishing. It doesn't exist. Right. There's some people that have some uncanny mental processes. But, you know, some guy that's listening in freaking Wichita right now, if he puts the time in and he plays smart poker and he's smart about it, he can be as good as anybody that's ever thrown for muskies. But we all suck when we start. And that goes for everything in life. So you're not going to wake up one morning and going to say, I'm going to run a marathon, right? You do not wake up. Jay couldn't run from here to his couch without passing out. Wouldn't you say, Jay?
No.
Jay, I'm picking on Jay's. He's got them Northwoods blues right now, folks. He's been eyeing Wally out his window for days. Like we're if it snows one more time, Jay will be doing a life sentence. Yeah, what?
You know what I did after work? Well, I'm going to tell you. This is the life of Northwoods excitement. Get home from the musky shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, Steve's probably still on the water. We're probably not going to do this podcast thing for a while. Yep. Steve and Paul. Yep. Anyway,
favorite song.
I'm like, I'm going to get the old winter shovel out, which I keep handy by the back.
The old winter. Because
I've got a 4-foot. It's not a snowbank. Okay, because when you've got a plow pile that's been rained on and refrozen and snowed on.
I used to go to that bar in college. Thought,
hard as a rock, it's like a layer of cement chipping away at it. We're talking about
the same place, right, Jay? The plow pile? Anyway, what?
So, just chipping away at that thing, because I'd like to get my boat out. It's completely blocking the access to the boat.
Shoot yourself in it?
Well, it can go out to the river or something like that, even tomorrow. But, it is feasibly possible.
Don't drown yourself.
But ain't going to happen because I can't get it out. So I'm chipping away at the old cement pile of ice and snow. So did that for a little while. So that was some...
Is that like breaking rocks in prison, Jay?
It feels like it. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Folks, welcome to
I just got a little sidetracked there. I was just thinking
Northwoods vent. Help me. do you pull the shades up and just peer?
Pete Maina, he's got a hashtag he used. I just remember this. What? It's like hashtag kill winter.
Kill winter. Yeah. Killing winter. Oh. Jay's neighbor across the road's getting weird. Jay's neighbor across the road thought he had skin cancer because he just has this red dot that shows up on his forehead. Jay's just peering out the window with his laser scope. I think I have melanoma, dear. Just Jay trying to kill Wally. Yeah, I'll kill you any day, Wally, you son of a bitch. Anyway, that's it. The only people that get that joke is me, you, and neighbor Steve. That's it.
Yep, that's probably it.
But anyway, so back to what I was saying. We all suck at everything we do. Jay sucks at winter. And if you're new at something, you suck. And that's the painful thing. And that's, I'll tell you, if I can give you any piece of life advice, and this is about musky trolling, but you're going to suck when you start something new. And that's what separates the men from the boys, is the guys that are willing to go through the shitty part of getting good at something.
Yeah, but you're right.
That's it. I mean, you start playing guitar, you suck at it. And then you probably still suck at it. But, you know, whatever it is. Jay Badminton. Is anybody bad at badminton? I'm usually so drunk, I don't know if anyone's good at badminton.
Elmer's, he was a regional and a district champ back in high school at badminton.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. Just
Elmer's. I just made that up.
Did you?
There's nothing that man
Folks,
can't do.
Folks, I am sorry. This is just off the rails of the retard train. Going off the rails on the retard train.
We've got to stop this thing.
We've gone from Elmer freaking playing badminton to Jay sighting in his later scope on the neighbors because of winter depression.
Anyway, you're talking about,
one question. Has there ever been like a murderer that got off in Wisconsin for like seasonal depression? Like, listen, I was crazy because it was like winter fever or cabin.
And they're like,
fever.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. You know, light sentence. Yeah. That happens all the time.
The other thing I'd say is this. Wisconsin's creepy because you guys have churned out Ed Gein and Jeffrey Dahmer.
Uh-huh.
And Minnesota, I believe, turned out BTK. Or was that Iowa? Or was it Kansas? Hold on. Let me Google.
But what about Northern Illinois? John Wayne Gacy.
That's because them fibs are just rat bastards anyway. That place is just like... that place is freaking... I'm surprised there's not more John Wayne Gacy's coming out of there.
Let's hope not.
Where's BTK from? Sorry. Anyway, sorry to drive you nuts with shit that's not musky related. Back to our regular program. So, what I was getting at is the thing with the fly fishing, but it goes to trolling and it goes to the fly thing. So you go, I'm not a fly caster. I put out a video last year on Musky Shop TV where I look in the camera and thousands of people see me go, I suck at this. You know what I'm saying? I suck at it. I can cast 70, 80 feet. I'm not great. It's ugly, but it works. And it's effective, and muskies are really forgiving. So that's something I would bring up for you early season guys. You go, well, if they're not hitting this, they're not hitting that. Why are they going to hit flies? It is the ultimate, like... negative neutral fish presentation I've ever seen.
Probably.
When they won't move on anything else, they'll come up and look at them. I'm the guy, like, Musky Shop has a couple flies now. That's because, like, please carry some flies. Please. You know, and we got them. And they are all proven winners and all that stuff. So I'm not going to sit here and bludgeon you with flies, but that's something to consider that early season, because what are we talking about, Jay? When it comes
early season.
Early season. I know. Who am I? Where am I?
No clue.
Where am I? I know we're talking early season, but I'm talking when it comes to early season, I'm setting things up here. When we're talking early season, we're talking shallow water, right? You don't have a lot of operating space where you can't run your reef digger, right?
Right.
So we're talking gliders, we're talking blades, we're talking real small topwaters and twitch baits. All of those are either floating up or they're sinking where a fly can hang longer. It's hang time, right? That's why they're deadly. So that's something to think about. There's like one guy out there goes, I'll give that a try. The rest of you are going, shut up about fly rods. It's stupid. But something to consider. Again, we got in the tip on trolling. We didn't really talk about it with other guys about it, but it's super effective early season if you're willing to do it. If you're willing to do it on the shallow stuff. Now, the other thing I'd say is that early season trolling, you better know where you're going because you're going to be trolling pretty shallow. You know, don't go out on like some new lake and you're going on the north end of the thing and it's warmer and all this stuff. Right. Don't be rolling out there going, oh, I'm going to go troll this. It's 4 feet deep. And you find some stump for the first time. So have a clue there. And I got ADD real bad. Something that popped out in my head I was talking to Pete like 2 days ago on the phone, just bullshitting. And he talked about like a lake that's near him, like a real small body of water, that there's already a little bit of like wet water on it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite opening up, but the ice is sort of breaking up. And I asked him, I said, do you pay attention to that on these lakes? And that's something, at least guys, if you're not able to fish right now, but you got lakes that you like and you're driving by them, observe where it's starting to open up already. And Pete brought that up subsequently on the phone of like, if you got a couple lakes by you like to fish, go give them a look before the ice comes off or when it's first starting to come off and see where that's breaking up first, by the way. He brought that up.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. You know? That's a good point.
Well, and it was, he and I were just talking, he and I are just riffing about fishing a little bit. And he brought that up. He said, well, I'm watching this. And he said, there's going to be a bite there when it finally comes off. I went, damn. And I said, do you pay attention to that? And he said, when I was guiding, I used to. That he used to pay attention, you know, check out this lake, check out that lake, because it's the north end, north end, north end, but there might be a bay. There might be this little area or that little area that's starting to open up as well. Just something to know. Back to alternative stuff in the early season. Trolling, planer boards, even if you're a one rod kind of place, is pretty effective to get the stuff up there shallow. We got a pretty cool planer board coming out at the Muskie Shop here soon called The Blade. Well, more on that here in the next couple days. They're trying to get those coming in, but it's like a super easy planer board to get up shallow. So small blades, small bucktails, whatever it might be, your cranks, you can use these planer boards to get them up really shallow. But one thing Jamie and you were talking about is, and it was just like, we're just riffing, me and you on the phone, cause everybody's sort of in the same boat right now, is the effectiveness of rubber, regardless of what time it is, right? It can be like season opener and everybody you know is throwing a 4-inch slammer and they're throwing freaking giant killers, right? And you can take a regular bulldog and catch fish. What's up with that? But what you were saying on the phone, Jay, is about these river fish you fish for sometimes.
Yeah.
That it's like... do you think that's because the water's open, or why will those river fish hit rubber early in the season? Is it a sucker thing? What do you think?
I think the overly noisy stuff,
mm-hmm.
whether it's loaded with rattles or buckshot, or it's got blades churning and spitting. I think that's one reason why, you know, double tens aren't a good choice in northern Wisconsin to start off the season. They become better later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, right? You know, right. It's just like the whole thing with rubber slides, and it's just got a natural sound to it underwater.
Yeah,
that, you know, more I think it has something to do with that, probably more than anything.
It's subtle, and the thing is this, for some reason, I mean, I don't care where you're in the habitat range, it seems like they'll hit rubber. It just does, and it's like a lot of guys, you'll see these micro Medusas, the little bulldogs. I'm talking like the regular size bulldogs. They seem mm-hmm. to work right off the bat, because it's not that, like you said, I mean, the size and profile of a cowgirl is not too big. It's too much action. And I would say like it's just, it's the pulse, it's the vibration, it's the everything, where you can just sort of hop and skip a toad, a regular toad will work. Or a regular bulldog, and still drum up a bite. You know,
I agree. I've got a video coming out Tuesday, where six of the most of them are guides. Six guides from the shop,
mm-hmm.
including Jim the Tube Screamer Stewart.
Hey.
I said, okay, grab five primary lure choices for early season, meaning like the first couple weeks of season mm-hmm. up here in northern Wisconsin.
Who grabbed minnows?
And tell me why.
Fred Palermo just grabbed five buckets of minnows.
Yep. So it's Fred and Al, and you know, Al made a point. Al Frost made a mm-hmm. point. He's like, well, he had these small baits to start off with, and then he went to a 9-inch HI Suic, which is the mm-hmm. high impact plastic one. A little bit slower rise to it, you know, it's almost behaves like a weighted version.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, he goes, yeah, you know, and then I'm going with this one here. And he told it what it was. And he held it up to the camera and he's like, this is a 9-inch bait. It appears too big traditionally, right? Most people are going to go,
it's not.
Well, you're talking about that. It's not too big. A 9-inch bait to a muskie. I mean, a 9-inch fish to a muskie ain't nothing. So, dude, I mean, yeah, don't be afraid of that dive rise game. I mean, a 9-inch Titan or a 9-inch Suic dive rise. I mean, that's why? Like my primary choice.
I don't, you know what, you say that and I'm just freaking stupid because literally I had literally this same conversation with Steve Herbeck recently, which is rubber and dive and rise. It doesn't matter how big they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for some reason, like, I've seen fish come in and, like, move them twice, and you go, 7-inch slammer, 6-inch slammer, 5-inch slammer, right? And they'll just blast off on the small crank. But for some reason, your dive and rise presentations and rubber presentations don't matter that much. I've done it in Kentucky where it's just like, here I'm throwing this freaking bass-sized rattle trap, or I'm throwing a bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
No one has an answer. I promise you. I don't know why it will work. It just does. And it you know, if you look at the dive and rise, it's diving and coming back up. The bulldog's moving forward and falling. It seems like a lot of that on your straight retrieve baits, that size matters more.
Hey, right. Sorry to interrupt, but can you hear that?
What? What was that? I heard it.
It's rain.
It's rain.
Yeah, it's not snowing. It's actually raining this time.
Are you out in your yard like Shawshank Redemption right now?
Just open the door. I thought I heard the little pitter-patter of raindrops. Sure enough.
Andy Dufresne crawled through 5 miles of human shit.
Andy, how do you remember his name, character name? That's what? Funny.
From the
Shawshank.
It's a great one.
That's a good movie.
J.S.E. crawled through 50 miles of horrible snow.
Anyway, you were saying...
Guys, put your hands together. It rained in Wisconsin. That's one of my favorite Stevie Ray Vaughan songs. It's raining in Wisconsin.
It's a miracle, I tell you.
It's a miracle. Dude, I hope to God it turns to snow on your ass so bad.
It did 2 days ago. The forecast was supposed to be rain tonight. I'm like, cool, that'll take care of some snow and ice.
Yeah.
And just when it got dark, I opened the door because I couldn't hear the rain anymore. Sure enough, it's snowing to beat the band. You know, got like 2 inches.
Well, me and Jody have a betting pool of who will not make it through winter. Anyway, God, sorry, folks.
I apologize.
It's raining. So anyway, back to that, just something you're not going to hear, but it works, is rubber. And I don't even, like I said, I don't think it has to be the tiniest of tiny rubber. Another thing that was, and I'm sort of looking at my notes back in the day of stuff that's worked, and I know it's like not the popular thing, spoons. How lame.
I wouldn't say they're lame.
Spoons are lame. Nobody wants it. Dude, I would rather be caught fishing for a catfish than throwing a spoon.
Oh, I tell you what, man. You get one of those husky, huge daredevils, those big, like, 3-ounce ones, and you put a big like trailer on that.
You look like
that thing looks great in the water.
You look like some Frenchy pike fisherman doing that shit.
Just don't let anyone see or hear you casting because they make that clanky sound when you cast them.
Clank.
But they come through smooth and they got that big, you got to put a trailer on the back. It's like, talk about erratic. Those things are cool. Do I use them? No, I don't, but I know people that do. I know a couple guys that guide out of Hayward that are very effective early summer. Early summer, they say, is the best time for spoons in Hayward.
Spoon.
For whatever reason. Big spoons, yeah.
Spoons and big girls. They're fun.
Right through the weeds.
Don't let
right
anybody know you're doing them. Nothing. No, they work. I mean, it's but I've done well with I don't know what the small size of the spoon is. But for some reason, they work in that early season, like I said. And it's like you're just going to hear the same stuff, like we said, the cranks and all this stuff. The small, God, I hate to say it, like the Johnson, was it Johnson Silver Minnow or something?
Yep.
Some of these things of like to have in your arsenal. The reason I've had that on sort of my notes here is a spoon is such a simple presentation. It works. They're effective. It's affordable to just have. You grab a spoon and you at least mix it up in there, right? To have it just going. The other thing that I think that is lost is using crankbaits in a pseudo topwater methodology. That's probably the one thing too that I scribbled on the stuff you don't hear about but it works, is taking like a crane or a slammer and creeping it on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you just talked about dive and rise. So in my mind, we've found the warmest water, right? We found where we want to be. We have identified some bait. We've assessed that this is the best looking spot on the lake. What we're trying to feed you in some of these ideas are you're out there and it's all great and you go, well, nothing's happening. You know? Well, it's musky fishing and nothing's happened yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we said about the dive and rise baits, what I like about some of the cranks is if you mix it up in between, okay, creep it on the top. It's just top watering in that super, super shallow stuff. And then we can give it a pull and let it dive, let it rise, and then straight crank, right? You always hear Joe talk about hybrid crankbait fishing. We're attempting to do two or three things at once, and that is sort of the glory of the crankbait, but don't just throw it up on the sand and reel it in, right? Throw it up on the muck and reel it in, or old weed or whatever it might be. But that's something to check out. Like a lot of times that'll be like my every third or fourth cast. I'll just throw it out and just slow, slow, slow crank that thing where I'm seeing its back the whole time. Right. Those really shallow fish will respond to that. That's something that can be said. The other deal, and I'm trying to think of like some of the super light gliders is, and I had on my notes was the Manta. Right. Again, not the smallest bait, but they make a super shallow.
Yeah.
You don't hear about it anymore. It's I don't know how long it's been out. It's been out for a while. But that is a deadly early season bait because it hangs forever. And I think a lot of times, again, I said about the fly, is hang time is important in the spring, right? It's not falling too fast. It's not rising, whether it's diving rise or crank or whatever. It's just hanging. That Manta super shallow is deadly.
You know what? And that back to that video coming out Tuesday about the early season musky choices. I was kind of surprised.
Did Fred say all five of his choices were suckers?
Crappie minnow was number one.
Right.
Fat crappie heads. Jig was number two. No, I'm just kidding. a great overlooked one, glide bait early season, is the Undertaker. That is the time to use that thing. That thing has a very slow sink to it. So that's very similar to a shallow Manta.
I don't know anything. Talk to me about it. I've never thrown one.
It's kind of shaped like a giant jackpot, just cigar shaped. It's mm-hmm. smaller, you know, it's a little bit, it's probably an inch or so smaller than a Manta. So they are.
Is that what did you say it was?
The pallbearer is the plastic version.
Okay.
So the Undertaker is the wood version.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very subtle glide bait. Hmm. It's meant to be works very slow tempo. It's not
right.
A hellhound. It's not something you can crank in and you know, work with just the reel. You know, this is something you're giving small taps and mm-hmm. and immediate slack line to. So early season, slow presentation, glide bait, Undertaker.
You just hit the next thing here. Tempo.
Mm-hmm.
Tempo. El tiempo. So important in the early season. Because it's... Yeah. And I've never fished right after the ice came out and you guys are up there squirreling around. What are we looking at water temps a lot of times then?
Memorial Day weekend when muskie opens?
Right.
In the 50s.
Right. Which, 50 degrees... means colder water, which means lower metabolism, which means slower moving, right? Everybody and their brother is going to go out there and they're going to burn, feel the burn, and they're going to get their asses burnt because they're not going to catch shit. And you always hear about Johnny so-and-so caught a fish. The guy that's going low and slow is going to win the day. You're going to catch more fish in that early season by slowing down, which, like you said, tempo. It's not about it becomes erratic. It's about being erratic and having action, but you've got to get comfortable at a certain point where you go, I can impart action that doesn't involve speed. Huh? What did you say? Action without speed, which is joining crankbaits. You wonder why, like, and a lot of guys like don't understand that we've talked about this before. Jointed baits are to give the illusion of action at lower speed.
Right. Right. Yep.
But, you know, like you said, hang time. So it might be pop, pop, pause, tap, tap, small taps, just a little bit. It's hang time, and you give it just a little tappy tap there to make it hang loose, and it does something a little bit erratic. So controlling your tempo. Now, every day, and people that have been on my boat and fish with me always say this. If a guide or you or anybody goes out on the water and they say they know how fast the fish want it, they're full of shit. It's every day. That's a different scenario. I don't care if nothing has changed, right? The water temp, the clouds, everything is exactly the same as it was yesterday. Tempo will vary. What is it going to take to get one to eat? Today on the boat, dude, it was a grind fest. It was an absolute grind fest, right? Went all day long, found a bite window. We're all throwing the same thing. I happen to have the tempo right, and it's like bam, bam, back to back, right? So play with tempo. If you're fishing with you and a buddy, make sure that your speed, your tempo is different between the two of you to find what's working and then compare notes. But always like that early season, I think that's time to have that 5-3-1 out, those slower reels.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's gonna help.
You know, and you hear the things, half spool Steve, he's got half the lines off his reel. That's to control that speed, because your reeling hand is the most, that's the thing that keeps you from catching fish. It does. Can't slow down enough, don't have the control. So that's something to consider is if you're not contacting fish, is to slow down. I would always err on fishing fast as you can. When you start, like, not as fast as you can, like a burn, right? But you're fishing fast. And don't go up, go down. Right? Okay, I've done 45 minutes to this, and I've got no follows, and nothing's happening. I'm going to slow down. Because negative neutral fish, that means they're negative, and they're neutral. They don't want to move. So make it easy for them. Stop making it so hard. That really carries a lot more weight in the spring, in my mind, is just taking it just easy as you can get. Another thing too is top water. You know, some people touch. I don't think Joe did, but I know the Smitty might touch on like top water, real shallow stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Top water will work that season opener for sure. But I'll tell you what'll work really well is really small top waters. And I'm talking like that Rip Cat, which is a bass bait from Big Fork, is gnarly good. And it is a bass bait. It is tiny. And I've caught fish on that. But me and you are talking, Jay, how effective the tiny little whopper ploppers are.
Oh, those little, the bass-sized ones.
And I'm not talking, there's little bastard from Lake X, great musky bait. But the smaller ones from that, because the sound is slightly less than, right? It's a boop, 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 where the little bastard is a little bit louder. Play with both of those early season as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can both be effective in some regard, but you know, the river to see that little whopper plopper it's just got the sound a lot of times in the early season. You know, what else? And then something that I've overlooked. I remember you did this last year. It's smoking them on spinner baits, but herky jerky spinner baits. And I know that's something you like to throw, especially with your river fish. Sort of walk me through, Jay, like. Because you're not throwing like big magnum spinner baits. You're throwing bassy size spinner baits in the early season. What's some of the stuff you're doing on those Wisconsin fish with like bass size spinner baits? Are you letting them fall? Are you jigging them a little bit? What sort of a typical cast or a couple casts for you on those river fish?
Yeah, a half ounce spinner baits generally, you know, on like heavy bass tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the type tackle where you can, it's just heavy enough busty. That you can run a leader. Always run a trailer on that for action, you know, put a little white grub on the back there, a little 3-inch grub. And, yeah, just working brakes basically.
Is it like a straight retrieve and fall, or what's the retrieves?
I always stop the bait at some point in the retrieve during the front of the retrieve. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just stop reeling for, you know, and slow with little pulses every once in a while. Yeah. Never straight retrieve.
Right. Ever. Right. Just let it. Is that Colorado or Willow?
Oh, depends on what I can get. It's been, a couple of my favorite manufacturers dried up and they stopped making baits. It's hard to find good quality bass ones because they have to be made tough enough to last a fish or two.
Right.
You know, it's like some of these, I've caught big smallmouth on them and the smallmouth snap the darn thing in half. Well, it's like
the one
you want to use the type that are spun around, you know,
right.
And they all use lighter wire. And it's like,
well, there's the one there. What is there's the small ace that I know you turned me on to that, which is the small ace bait.
Yeah, that's true. I've used those. They're a little heavier, but yeah, to be honest with you, I don't know what I'm using right now. Uh-huh. I prefer Colorado, like a number 5 Colorado on the back. I like that kind of thump, but early season, the Willows are usually a little bit better. It's just more flash and less thump and get the bait.
See, one thing I've seen for me, and it's like if I'm throwing that small ace, right, is if I do like a 5 or a 6 Colorado on that, I can get it high. There's a little more lift, right? And I'm just comparing notes here because it's like we both fish rivers and both fish lakes. But if I want to keep it high, and the one thing I should say is this, all my spinner baits, I don't know if the ace baits come this way, but I always do the quick interchange, little lock thing, like a figure eight bait. So I can change the blades, and that's like, that's the one reason I've talked about it before, but like I love spinner baits for the fact of I can quickly change the blades, which a Colorado will run higher than a Willow. A French blade turns faster. Having a little selection of blades on hands is always good. I like the Colorado blades on the small baits, like a slightly bigger, like maybe a 6. I've ran 8s before on those smaller aces because I'll keep them higher. Right. And like real stop, and it slows it down on the fall, like a slower fall as it's helicoptering down. And I've caught a lot of fish that way, like the just like real stop helicopter, real stop helicopter.
That's exactly what Jim the Tube Screamer Stewart was talking about in his segment on that vid. Yeah. He was about not the ace, but he likes the figure eight mini boss.
Mm hmm.
It's similar. It might be a little bit bigger frame, but it's a real light spinner bait, you know, like now, a 1 ounce or something.
I'll tell you, do you know what's funny?
And you can slow it down, you know, with a spinner bait versus a small inline.
What's funny with that is, and I don't think there's another spinner bait that's done it. And one thing that Joe got really right on the Slop Master was how flat the head of that bait is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you don't have one, you can take a hammer and beat the shit out of the head of your spinner bait, and it'll slow down. I've done it, dude.
Flat out. You were the mod king. You were Mr. Mod.
I will beat the shit out of it. That is awesome. Take a hammer and beat the shit out of it, and get that thing flat.
Jody Michael's like, what's going on back there?
Oh, dude, I got a vice back here. I'm like, bang, 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 bang. But another thing is this, and this is like just, dude, being, again, it's like your West Virginia hillbilly. You got to make do with what you got. I have taken, if you need like, I know it sounds so stupid and people are like, you're an idiot. I have taken another blade, right? And you can take like a number 8 blade and JB weld it to the bottom of a spinner bait and it'll hang forever. You see what I'm doing?
Yeah.
And slow it down. So it's like got this weird lift. So it's like,
and it probably rocks.
It does. And somebody ought to make a spinnerbait like that, but whatever. I don't have time to do it. But here's a spinnerbait with this big flat head on the, like the bottom of it's like this big, it's a freaking blade. And so it makes it rock a bunch. And so I've just like literally taken JB Weld and JB Weld him on the bottom. Cause like, and I'm not doing that like on the boat. I'm going like, okay, I couldn't get a bite yesterday. I got to figure something out. I know they're up here, but it's going too fast. That shit's deadly, dude.
I'm doing that tomorrow morning, you by should. The way.
The yeah. other thing is this, and this is a trick. I'm just, this is why I like when me and you just bullshit on here. Cause I just remember all the dumb stuff I've done ever. So if you take like, say, again, a slot master, some of these baits, and just like take your nippers and just start taking lead off of it and get it down to nothing. They hang a lot longer too. So yeah. You're taking the weight off. And so it's just like wire, skirt, hook there. And the same concept too, with like some of the Rizzo whizzes where you can put the small tubes. Sometimes with these spinner baits, to get them to hang, and then like there's Colorado's, Indiana too. And the way to look at it in the springtime is this, is a willow's going to fall fast, right? And Indiana is slightly slower. A Colorado's much slower.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A French blade's going to be somewhere in that thing. But the hang time on the spinner baits, which is like, you can almost yo-yo them back, right? Roop, roop, pull, pull, upwards pull, and it pulls up and it falls, and it pulls up and it falls. Looks hella wounded. And another point, like you said, is a trailer. I think spinner baits, like bucktails, I really don't care about trailers as much, but spinner baits, trailers are important.
I agree.
They really are. They were really important. Where, you know, you can take an Action Plastics or a Kalen's, and that bait comes alive. You know, especially on the fall. So if we're talking about hang time on spinner baits, Colorado and a big grub tail, right? So like is it the 6-inch Kalen's, Jay, with the big flat tail? What's the one that's on a lot of gliders? Is it like a 4-inch Kalen's? I could see some hanging on my wall here.
5-inch
Lunker grub. So it's got that bigger paddle tail, which is resistance in the water, which will slow it down even more. Right. I'm not putting the whole grub on there, but I might put the tail section or something like that. We'll give it some hang time there. So are you going to be JB welding baits tomorrow, Jay?
Yeah. Yep.
It works. I can't believe I should have freaking told Ben at Spitfire to make those forever ago. They work. But it's just like augmenting those spinner baits is just deadly. Just absolutely just deadly. Neat little way to do it. Anyway, we've prattled on, Jay. We've been going here. Anything else you can think of early season? I'm sure we'll come up some more next week. We're going to do Q&A next week, folks. I apologize. We're bad at Q&A and keeping up with it. Jay Fisher's a lot of the Johnson Beetle spin. Dude, why is someone not come up with the musky beetle spin?
I don't like tiny baits.
I don't either. Stupid.
I don't like pan fishing.
No.
They're just bait.
They're stupid is what they are. Freaking stupid. Anyway.
Full circle.
Before the other thing. We just said that and I looked on the wall. Another little trick though too, that early season. You know those big paddle tails, like the Action Plastic paddle tail shads? Just like a shad or a grub. Just a shad or a grub. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. With no weight and just a hook. Right? That plastic will hang. Slow roll that over those flats early season or next to old weeds and stuff. Don't put a weight on it. Don't put a jig head. Just put like an actual like 7-0 single hook, right, on your leader and put the grub on it and just throw it.
And that's I can see that working really well in like up by us. We have, if you know where the emergent lily pad areas are before they start coming up.
Yes, sir.
That's for those. Oh, man, I've caught muskies, not on that, but I mean, I've caught muskies on extremely shallow water where you can see. It's you don't even see the fish.
Right.
It's like it's okay. Where'd it's a he, foot of water. From, yeah. Well, there's one there. Where'd he come from? That's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
And that'd
be good. Yeah.
That's one thing just gets overlooked is unweighted plastic, which is a bass thing.
That's a patience thing. But
it's a patience thing. But yeah, just a hook with a plastic. Slow rolling or ripping. Anyway, Jay, we're coming back next week. Big Q&A. Big stuff. That is me and Jay's early season ramblings on weird or crap you can do.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep. Thanks for everybody that DM'd and got a hold of me and asked if we were okay. Appreciate the concern.
Are you and Steven squabbling? That's like, dude, I get these guys all the time like, what happened to the guru? Tower got a job.
Guru got a job.
I actually talked to him yesterday. I was like, what are you doing, man? That poor guy, dude. He's like freaking... Tower's in the Twin Cities. He was finished up his degree. And I was like, dude, you should be a guide. He's working the job, man. He's working hard, though. He's doing it. He's doing the do. So, yeah, it's just like people are like, what happened? What happened? You and Jay. Did Jay finally murder Wally? Anyway, Jay, say goodnight.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We got lots of stuff.